In the 2022 IPL season, something strange happened. Virat Kohli, one of the greatest players the game has ever seen, got out of the first ball he faced. Not once, not twice, but on three different occasions. You'll realize how unusual this was when I tell you that in all the 14 years of IPL before this, Virat had a golden duck just three times. Basically, in just 1 year. The number of first ball ducks in his IPL career doubled. What was going on? This happened twice against Sunrisers Hyderabad and once against Lucknow Super Giants. If you saw those matches, Virat's reaction is hard to miss. At first, he's shocked. The crowd is shocked. The commentators are shocked. Of course, Virat himself is also disappointed. He stands at the crease, looking down, wondering what in the world just happened. And then you see a wry smile, maybe a shake of the head, a tap on his helmet as he scolds himself and makes the long walk back to the pavilion. For years, Virat Kohli has been a game changer for Indian cricket, for RCB and for all of Indian society even. But the past couple of years have been slightly different. They've been a game changer for him. His numbers aren't up to his usual high standards, he's quit captaincy and he's also become a dad. These are all big life and career changes. So let's talk about it. Hello and welcome to Eat Shore Presents the RCB Podcast. I'm Danish Seth. On this podcast, we talk to some of RCB's best and ask them to look back on the mentors, matches and moments that made them the person they are today. Eat Shore delivers biryani from Behroz, pizza from Oven Story, wraps from Faso's and desserts from S'more. All in one order with free delivery. Download now and use code RCB to get flat 150 rupees off. One of the great things about the IPL is that it allows young players to just hang out and learn so much from their seniors. I've seen so many young guys from all teams gravitate to someone like an MS Dhoni or Virat or AB after a match, wanting to just pick their brains and get some advice. But I often wonder, where do the greats go themselves when they struggle? Virat had just 341 runs from 16 games in the last IPL season. That's an average of 22.73. That's far from his usual high standards. There was pressure from everywhere on him. People saying he was done, he was cooked, that he needed a break. So where did he go for some perspective?
It's a very nice question, very interesting question. Actually, you know, I've experienced a very different kind of phase in my career currently, and it's been a while since I really felt free in a sense. How I felt all these years playing at any level of cricket. And what's interesting is that throughout this phase, apart from Anushka, who's been, you know, the biggest source of strength for me, because she's been with me through this whole time. She's seen me very closely as to how I felt, the things I've gone through, the kind of things that have happened in the last few months. What's interesting is that the only person who kind of, apart from my childhood coach, obviously, who offered help, and, you know, family, they offer help, but someone who's been in similar situations, understanding mindset and how things can affect a person, the only person who's genuinely reached out to me has been MS Dhoni.
Wow.
And for me, that is such a blessing to know that I could have such a strong bond and such a strong relationship with someone who's so senior to me, where, you know, things are, it's more like friendship based on a lot of mutual respect. and he reached out to me, and you can rarely get in touch with him. You know, if I call him on any random day, 99% chances he won't pick up.
Wow.
Because he just doesn't look at his phone. So for him to reach out to me twice, it's happened now. And that's one of the things that you know, he mentioned in the same message reaching out to me was, when you are expected to be strong and looked at as a strong individual, people forget to ask you how you are doing.
Hmm.
So it hit home for me, you know, it was like, this is it, because I've always been looked at as someone who is very confident, very mentally strong, and you know, just can endure any situation, any circumstance, and find a way and show us the way. And sometimes what you realize is that at any given point of time in life as a human being, you really need to just take a couple of steps back and understand how you are doing, how your well-being is, where it's placed. So there is not many places that I wouldn't use the term greats, but people who have played for a long period of time and are looked at as strong individuals, there are not many places they can go and explain things in a way that the other person understands. Now, why I mentioned this particular incident is because he knows exactly what's going on. He understands it because he's been there himself.
Yeah.
And he's experienced what I experience right now. So it is only out of experience, and as we spoke recently as well, feeling those feelings in that moment, is the only way you can truly be compassionate and understanding towards another individual who's going through the same thing.
You might have seen the RCB video of Virat chatting to Mr. Nags about his struggle for runs. Virat is just so open and funny in it. He doesn't look or sound like someone who has a heavy weight on his shoulders. And there's a good reason for that.
You know, you talk about inspiration, and I have seeked a lot of, or I have gotten a lot of inspiration from home. I've seen Anushka, how, you know, through this phase that has happened for everyone in the last couple of years, we've had a child. It's a unbelievably life-changing and transforming process for parents. Yes, but for the mother, it's literally life-changing completely.
Yeah, completely, yeah.
And how she has been so strong through it, and how she has been able to take all the challenges that have come in her way. And I've seen everything. I've seen the transformation happen. So that gave me so much strength and inspiration to say, you know, what I am probably experiencing is not even 5% of what, you know, she's gone through.
As a sacrifice to say, I'll give up on this to focus on something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It is selfless. It is unconditional.
Yeah.
And so you need to also put things in the right perspective. You can't make your issues, which seem huge to you, in the forefront, and make them into something, you know, catastrophic going on, wherein you realize that this is life. I play a sport, that is my profession, but when I see the transformation that happened with her, that for me is life. That for me is far bigger and far, I mean, you can't even put it in the same bracket. It's not even comparable, because it is literally your life being given to another life which has to grow up in front of you. So I've seeked so much inspiration from her, and the way she's handled herself, the way, as I said, she's endured all the challenges. That for me is has been a big source of inspiration. And honestly, the only thing that matters to me is she understands me, and our daughter loves us unconditionally, and it is the most basic requirement for anyone, that your life partner understands you, loves you for who you are, and you have love with each other. And beyond that, you don't need to expect anyone understanding you, to be honest, because for me it doesn't really matter. What matters is when I come home, when I experience life, where am I placed there? And in life, I'm in a very, very happy place.
Eat Sure delivers biryani from Behroz, pizza from Oven Story, wraps from Faso's, and desserts from S'more. All in one order with free delivery. Download now and use code RCB to get flat 150 rupees off.
In 2021, Virat stepped down as RCB captain. He also announced that he would no longer be India's T20 captain after the World Cup. Soon, he gave up test leadership too, setting himself up for a new phase in his career. Even his biggest critics would agree that as Indian skipper, he changed the way we play our cricket. He's been our most successful leader in tests. We were number one in the format for 42 months straight. We were unbeatable at home in whites. Yet, when people talk about his stint as a leader, a lot is said about what he didn't do, about the series and tournaments he didn't win. I asked him, was there unfinished business for him?
Look, you play to win tournaments, but that's not, I mean, a lot was made of it, to be honest. I captained in what? I captained Champions Trophy 2017. I captained 2019 World Cup. I captained Test Championship 2021. So after three ICC tournaments already, I was...
So you just three losses. That's three games that you lost. That's,
I mean, we lost the last T20 World Cup. We didn't qualify.
Yeah, so that's three and a half.
We reached the finals of 2017 Champions Trophy, semis of World Cup, finals of Test Championship, and I was considered as a failed captain. So, I mean, look, I never judged myself from that point of view. I was never... What we ended up achieving as a team and as a cultural change, for me, that's always going to be a matter of pride, because a tournament happens for a certain period of time.
Correct.
But a culture happens over a long period of time.
Mm.
And for that, you need consistency. For that, you need more character than just winning a tournament.
Wow.
So I won a World Cup as a player. I won Champions Trophy as a player.
Yeah.
I've been part of a team that's won five test matches. So if you look at it from that point of view, there have been people who have never won a World Cup. I am always grateful for what I have.
And you were 22 when you won the World Cup.
I was
scored 100 in the first game. Got some 35 in the finals.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be part of that team, to be honest. And what led to my selection was also amazing, because I had a run of great scores and I ended up being the team. I never expected it to happen. So when things are meant to be, things are meant to be. And there were people in the team who, as you know, Sachin Tendulkar was playing his sixth World Cup, if I'm not wrong.
Jeez, yeah.
And that was the one he won. And I was able to be a part of a team first time and I ended up being part of a winning side.
Yeah.
So if I had to look at what has gone wrong in my career, it's very easy to do that, but I look at what's gone right in my career and I'm grateful for that. I'm not mad for, you know, my trophy cabinet to be full. To me, that's always been a byproduct of how you conduct yourself, kind of discipline you have, and how you are striving towards excellence on a daily basis. And I feel like I've been very honest to that aspect of the game.
It can't be easy for someone like Virat, who'd been groomed into leadership from such a young age, to adjust to this new phase where he's just a player. But then again, I remember he has someone in his life who's always been in the same position, and that is MS Dhoni. Virat had taken over captaincy from MS, whom everybody loves, and then he was also in a position where he gave up captaincy. At RCB, he passed it on to Faf du Plessis, who's respected as a leader. I'm curious if there were any lessons from MS that Virat drew upon at this crucial time in his life.
Again, as you mentioned, both people are amazing. With me and MS, there was never a question of any awkwardness in that whole period, because the reality of the situation is MS chose me. It wasn't the other way around. So when you understand that as a captain, you already have someone who has been under your wing since he was 23 and vice captain, and I was always having conversations to him about what we can do in the field, my suggestions to him, whether he can take it on board, this and that. So I was always his right hand man.
Yeah.
You know, I was always there understanding the game, and we also got confidence because I was playing a lot of match winning knocks for the team. So he understood that I understand the game. I understand where the game is going and what I need to do. And also I was giving him a lot of inputs on the field. I was never someone who was just standing there fielding and, you know, throwing the ball back. I was always going to him if the game was tight. What do you think we can do? Because I was always I was always with the feel of the game. Mm. I was never really only looking at the scoreboard. Oh, these many runs, these many balls. No, what is the pitch doing? What the conditions are like? What are our bowlers bowling like? If the batsman's feeling uncomfortable or not? What fields can we put? What can we do to try and break this partnership? Or all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So he understood that very early.
Mm.
So he kind of took me under his wing. And since 2012, I was groomed to be the next guy who was going to take over. Mm. So that's why it was very smooth. And I had always had and still have huge respect for him. For how he captained the Indian cricket team and obviously how he performed for the Indian cricket team for so long. And I never had any kind of, ill intentions when it came to MS. Like, I never felt like I should be there. Do you understand? Like,
yeah.
I always was very respectful of the fact that he has so much trust in me. And I can go and talk to him about anything, any situation.
Yeah.
Similarly,
so it seems like a very respect-driven relationship between you. Yeah.
So when I became captain as well, it was still the same. He would give me advice all the time.
Mm.
And I was able to tell him, "This, I don't want to use this at this moment.
Wow.
And let's go ahead and use this plan."
Yeah.
It was very clear and it was very simple. There was never awkwardness. There was never any of this, he might feel bad or I might feel bad. Never happened with us. So that was such an amazing transition, which I experienced. And then here as well, with Faf, as I mentioned in the interview before, we've always had a lot of respect for each other. We got along well whenever we had a few chats. And then as soon as I understood that this is RCB's plan, I messaged him. I was probably the first guy to message him and let him know that this is gonna happen.
Wow.
So he was very excited about it and he immediately understood that I'm on board here to play under him, and he was clearly very excited the way he replied to me, and he felt like, you know, this is something that will motivate him to kind of take a new path and help the team go to the goals that we want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both ways. It's been very, very nice.
So what is the difference that you've experienced walking in as the captain, leading the side out, and then suddenly having this transformation to not being the captain? Because you've played as a player before as well. But have you, like, is there a stark difference between the two things? Or is
of course.
It,
of there course is? There is. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it's not. Because you go into a position of being responsible for everything that's going on around you.
Yeah.
And to not be in that position, it takes a bit of time to process it and understand it and let that become normal, if that makes sense.
Sort of, I think it's about letting go.
It's not so much letting go.
No.
Because once you have decided that you don't want to do it, you've already let go of it in a sense.
Mm. Mm.
But it's the moments where the game is kind of in the balance.
Oh, and you have
and
an
that's
idea.
When you feel like, oh, we should. Oh. And that's when you realize, no, maybe, you know, I should not give my advice right now because the plan seems to be already made and it's clear.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of things that happen when you understand that, okay, hold on, you need to kind of hold yourself back. So these are the only things I'm talking about, like in those crunch moments, because you've been always involved in taking decisions in those moments, it naturally kicks in again that, oh, do I need to take that decision? Or, and then you realize, okay, no, it's working well. But there've been so many instances in this season as well when I would run to Faf and tell him, you know what, I strongly feel we should do this.
Mm.
And he's been happy enough to take it. And he's been happy enough or clear enough to tell me, I don't want to do that at this point of time. And again, as I said, it's been very, very respectful.
But is that graciousness, even from your end, for him to say no and for you to not sulk, but say, cool, I'm on board with your idea. Does that graciousness kind of, is it a pay, you, are you paying it forward because it came to you as well?
You know, it's, I find it,
because I somehow feel like there's so much similarity between what you spoke about MS and you, and then you and MS, and then you and Faf, and then Faf and you. There's this similarity between the stories there. It's
you know,
beautiful.
I find it very, and don't get me wrong, I find it very amusing and surprising that these things are looked at as something tremendously great. It is the basic requirement of any team sport.
Right.
No one's bigger than the game. So,
yeah.
Once you have stepped down from a responsibility,
yeah.
Why should you feel bad about the guy who's in charge telling you he doesn't want to follow what you're telling him?
Yeah.
No one should feel bad about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why when you say that, oh, I've had no issues, people say, oh, wow, that's amazing.
As a player, this isn't the first time Virat's been in a few tough situations. He's been here before. And he's come out of it stronger. Let's go back to 2014, for instance. He had a miserable test tour of England. His average that tour was 13.5. He said before that that was when he hit rock bottom. But 4 years later, he was back in England in 2018. And he smashed them. In that very first test, he made 149. The next highest score for India that innings was 26. He was brilliant in how he batted with the lower order. You can tell how much that performance meant to him.
Again, that's very interesting. I mean, so I kind of started performing very consistently from 2010 onwards, and 2011 is when I made my test debut. That didn't go really well for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was left out of the side, and then I made a comeback at the end of the year again. I was given a few chances, scored a few runs, went to Australia. Again, two horrible test matches to begin with. Then I kind of came back on track, had a great test match personally in Perth. Against the odds at that point of time, you can say. And then I got my first 100 in Adelaide. So I had kind of started to, you know, just get a hold of my game in the test level.
How old were you at that point?
In Australia?
Yeah.
I was 23.
That's really young, right?
Yeah, that's really young. I mean, if now when I look back at things, I've always been too hard on myself.
Yeah.
But that also allowed me to be very responsible at a very young age.
Yeah.
I was made vice captain of the team at 23.
Mm.
When there were many seniors in the team as well. So that was a big confidence booster for me that, you know, the people believe in me being here for a long period of time.
Mm.
So that made me very confident of myself. So it was going well, 2013 went well, and then 2014, the last test tour we had before going to England was New Zealand.
Mm.
And I got 100 in the last innings of that tour. There were only two test matches, I got a 70 and 100, so I was like confident. And we went to England and I thought, I need to prove myself here. That was wrong in the first place. Because I went there to prove something, that I can play in these conditions and not go there to kind of make my team win. That wasn't my focal point. My focal point was, I need to prove that I can play here. So I was always under pressure.
Mm.
And once things knocked back, I was not able to find a way out of that. So that was a very bad phase. And what's interesting is from 14 to 18, I had done everything everywhere in the world, performed in every condition, everywhere in the world. But people just held on to one thing. Oh, but what about England?
Yeah.
So that's when I realized, you know, I've probably played cricket at a level which I'm certainly very proud of, and I have won so many games for the team. So it's again, as I said in our last interview as well, it's when you focus on those things, you are not able to look at yourself in the way that you should look at yourself. Because people are constantly looking for things which are not going right. Because that keeps conversations going, right?
If you want to complain all the time, everybody loves it.
If you admit, yeah, this is what it is, this guy is very good, he's done this and that, conversation ends. You can't really build onto it. You can't really bring in, oh, but he's like this because of this and that, and too many ads and too much this and too much that. And you can't bring all of that into that conversation. So that was always something which was, oh, but what about England? So when I went to England in 20, and by the way, I was going to play county cricket before that.
Mm.
So I was a bit nervous before going to England, because I thought I need to prepare myself more. But then I had a neck issue in 2018 already, and I fell in one of the IPL games, and I could not go there because it got aggravated. And so I remember AB telling me at that point, I spoke to him as well, I'm feeling a bit jittery because I'm not able to go to that county stint. And he said, this is not 2014 and you're not the same player, so you'll be absolutely fine. So I became very calm after that. I was like, okay, fine, maybe I need to believe in myself a bit more. Then we went to England, got used to the conditions. The white ball tournament happened before the red ball. And I clearly remember before going to bat in that first innings, my heart was racing. Mm. Because all I could think of was flashes of 2014 coming to me again and again. And I'm padded up, I have to bat next. And then the next wicket falls. And I was just trying to control my heart rate sitting outside. So I walked in and I remember 35,000 people in that stadium. They all started booing when I walked in. And so my heart started beating faster. And they have this amazing ability to create an environment where you feel like I've got no chance here.
Yeah.
So I remember James Anderson was the guy who was running into bowl, and I was like, what are the odds I have to face the first ball from him again after 4 years? I was like, please just play the first ball. And he bowled it. I think it was on fourth stump and I left that ball. So I became calm after that first ball. And then I got dropped at on 22 actually. See, these are the things I'm talking about. Like, so many things could have gone wrong. I could have been out on 22 in that innings.
Yeah.
But I got dropped and I got 149 and I didn't look back from there. So that's when you realize that you can't just sit there and crib about things that didn't go right. There are a lot of things that went right. A lot of times you've been dropped in situations where if you were not, you probably wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah.
It's that fickle, it's that minute. So, yeah, so that innings happened and then I came back to the room and I was a bit emotional. Anushka was there and she also got a bit emotional. She was feeling very happy for me because she understood being in the stadium.
Yeah.
After a build-up of 4 years and watching that moment when everyone, she was like, my heart was racing and I could understand how you feel when you walk in to play in that kind of situation. And we're both very happy and went out for a nice dinner. And yeah, it was like so much weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I don't think regular people like you and me really understand what it's like to deal with the ups and downs of high-pressure elite sport. Especially in cricket, representing a cricket-mad country like India.
Eat Sure delivers biryani from Behroz, pizza from Oven Story, wraps from Faso's and desserts from S'more. All in one order with free delivery. Download now and use code RCB to get flat 150 rupees off.
There was this story that I think you told us, I don't know, did I read it in passing somewhere about a man sitting beside you on a flight telling you about getting 100?
We spoke about that recently. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? It was a Delhi to Bombay flight.
It was a flight from Kochi to Delhi.
Okay. So, and there's this corporate man sitting.
Yeah. There was this man who. So we were allotted seats in the front. So the whole team was sitting in the front of the plane. And this guy was a huge MS fan. So he walks in and he gets very excited looking at him. He was from Chennai.
Okay.
So he kept saying,
chances are he's a tech.
Yeah, he was most probably.
Yeah.
I don't remember the company he mentioned, but yeah, he was most probably. So he went to MS and he was like a big fan and this and that. So MS met him nicely. So I clearly remember he started giving tips to him about captaincy or team composition or something like that.
Right, because he's a corporate leader, of course.
Yeah, so course. I mean, MS was obviously very nice to him and the gentleman sort of lost his way and he just opened up and he just started saying what he felt. So MS was quite patient in understanding and listening to him, and then he's like, okay, that's enough now, you know, we'd like to just chill as a team and all that. So while he was going back to his seat, I got up to do something and he saw me. He's like, Kohli, what's going on? What's up? What's going on? So he goes, no, what's going on with your batting? This was after 2014, you know, after England. And again, everyone was like, oh, what's going to happen? What's he going to do? And this and that. So I'd gotten out in a couple of one days. And I said, nothing. I'm obviously not scoring runs right now. And that's it. He said, yeah, I know. And I expect you to get 100 in the next game. So that kind of, I was young, that kind of flicked the switch. And I was like, okay, let's have a conversation. I asked him a question. I asked him, where do you work? He mentioned some company. And then I asked him, what's your position in the company? And he mentioned some kind of manager. I don't understand the terms, but yeah, some kind of in a good position.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, in 3 months' time, I want you to become the chairman of your company. So he said, how is that possible? So that's when I made him understand the analogy of putting XP. I said, what I do is not a video game that you expect me to get 100
turn the cheat code on 131 and hit sixes. Yeah.
Of course, I'm trying to do my best.
Yeah.
But because you cannot possibly achieve what I'm asking you to achieve, you can work for it. Similarly, I'm trying to work for it as well. But if you tell me standing here that you expect it, then it's putting more and more pressure on me, and you don't want that pressure in your work. So why put that pressure on me? So then he understood. And by the time the whole team started shouting, coach, 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 because everyone felt like he came to coach everyone. And then he just laughed it off and he went back to his seat. It was a fun moment.
Glad he had a sense of humor.
He loved it. He loved the whole scene that happened in that 15-minute period. It was amazing.
Let's go back to another game-changing period in Virat's career. And that's 2012. A while ago, an old tweet from commentator Sanjay Manjrekar went viral. It was from January 2012. Let me read it out for you. He says, and I quote, "I would still drop VVS and get Rohit in for next test. Makes long-term sense. Give Virat one more test, just to be sure he does not belong here." Now, Manjrekar was talking about the Australia series. Virat had made scores of 11, 0, 23 and 9 in the first two tests. Things were obviously not going great for him, and he knew that. But ahead of the third test, something switched. Those game-changing moments we talk about? Virat had one of those. And Manjrekar must be pleased that Dhoni thought like him at that time and gave Virat another chance.
I would say 2012, we were in Australia, and I remember, as I mentioned, those two test matches had gone horribly wrong, and we were playing in Perth, the third test match. And that was a very tough pitch, a lot of pace and bounce and a lot of grass on the pitch. And I knew that if I don't perform in this test match, there's no chance I'm going to play the fourth, and probably have to go back to first class cricket and find my way up again. So I clearly remember when we left Sydney, where the second test match was, there was a lot of, you know, when you lose two matches badly, test matches especially badly in Australia, the whole environment becomes very
tense,
and you know, there's a lot of,
yeah.
Everyone's obviously feeling a lot of pressure, and when it's your first tour to Australia, and you see everyone kind of feeling that pressure as a youngster, you feel like, I've got no chance here. Right? Because if the whole team is feeling like that, I'm the most inexperienced. So how the hell am I going to, you know, turn this around?
Yeah.
And I remember, I kind of, in that adverse situation, kind of got a resilience that, hold on, maybe I can be different if I think different. So I went into my own space, spent a lot of time just walking around by myself, sit in a coffee shop or whatever. I remember every time I stepped onto the bus or I went to a practice session, I always had music on, and I kept telling myself, I'd got 8 ODI 100s by the time, and I kept telling myself, I'm good enough to play at this level, and if I can get 800s in ODI cricket, I can manage this as well. So I kept telling myself, I'm good enough, I'm good enough, I'm good enough. And I ended up scoring 48 in the first innings and 75 in the second in that test match in conditions that were very tough. And I was the highest run getter in that test match for us. So that made me believe that, you know, the power of visualization and believing in yourself is so huge that we never tap into the potential of that fully. But it's only when you really put out all the distractions on the side and believe in yourself, you can do something which is not perceivable for people on the outside. So that was a big lesson for me. And even till today, if any youngster comes into the team, my first chat to them is about the same thing. It doesn't matter whether I've played 100 test matches or whether you've played two. If on the day your mindset is better, you will perform better than me. the game gives you no guarantees. So never feel like you are not good enough because you've not played so many games. If you are confident enough, you can get 100 compared to a guy who's played 400-500 international matches. That's how you realize that how you adjust to that level very quickly. Took me a bit of time, but that was quite a revelation for me, which I always carried through in my career.
Since then, Virat has been a big advocate of taking time away from the game. Even when on tour, just taking a walk or being with nature helps him recharge.
Really helped back in the day, and I'd be very honest right now, it's when we didn't have devices which kind of kept you
engaged
so much. It was easier. I'm not saying it can't be done today. It can definitely be done. But it was much easier back then because to have any source of entertainment apart from being at practice or chilling with friends was probably if you have a PlayStation fixed in your room. So you have to switch it on, start the game, start playing and all those kind of things. Yes, we had iPads, but I've never been a big gamer on iPads ever. So at that point of time, what I realized was when you go out for a walk and you put music, you choose to go out for a walk, right?
Yeah.
Because you can be in your room and be on the phone as well. So when you go out for a walk, you choose to go out for a walk. You look around. You look at the environment around you. You look at infrastructure, how the city is built. Is it different to another city? Right? You go to a park. So many different things going on. Someone's walking around with their dog. There are couples sitting there, walking around. There are old couples, the kids playing. There's so much going on. If you just observe all of that, it just puts you in a space where you're present, because to be able to observe, you need to be in that situation and you need to look. So I've always felt a very distinct difference between seeing and looking. You can just see something and just turn away. But when you look, you are looking for something. When you're looking, you're paying attention. And when you're paying attention, you start getting more and more connected with yourself and you start feeling balanced, you start feeling positive, you start feeling good. And if something positive is happening in front of you, you start feeling the emotion of it rather than just seeing, okay, whatever, playing, let's walk away. But if you sit there, you observe it, and it's amazing how those things always came very naturally to me. And whenever I felt like I was getting pulled in by the environment, I would always disconnect and move away and walk away, and it always rejuvenated me.
If you watched our videos and heard our podcasts, you might have heard his teammates mention how Virat has changed in the past few years. He's still passionate. He's still the first one celebrating every wicket. He's still getting the crowd going, but he's also more mature and, well, more grown up. He touched upon the reasons why earlier in this chat, but I want to go back to it because I think it's this self-awareness that will define how the great Virat Kohli will once again change things for himself and the teams he plays for.
One last question about just game-changing, or I'd say life-changing, in your personal space. Would you like to share with us like one moment where you thought your life had changed?
Life changing. When my father passed away, that was more like my outlook towards things changed. My life did not change as such. Life around was the same that it was before. It was because of that incident, it obviously gave me a lot of resilience and a lot of focus in what I wanted to do in life, and a lot of motivation to realize my dream. But it wasn't life changing in a way that my life was completely different after. I was still playing cricket, I was still doing what I had to do, and the environment was quite similar. I would say life changing moment would be when I met Anushka, because I saw a different side of life. It wasn't similar to my environment. It was a different perspective, different point of view. So that was life changing, because when you fall in love, when you love the person that you're with, you start processing those changes within you as well, because you have to move together, right? Yeah. You can't be one way or the other. So to do that, you have to open yourself up. To do that, you need to accept a lot of things. And that for me was life changing, because I changed a lot after I met her and we started dating. And because you share ideas, you share experiences, you see a different perspective altogether, which I had never seen in my life. Delhi boy, Punjabi household, it's copy-paste 99% of the homes. The culture is same. So this was different for me, which urged me to change for the better, to become more open, to become more accepting of things and understand there are different aspects of life and there are different ways to live life with the similar intent that you might have, but there are different ways to approach life which you need to accept and respect. So I would say life-changing moment was when I met her.
Thanks for listening to the RCB podcast, The Game Changers. This podcast was produced by the Royal Challengers Bangalore in collaboration with ATS Studio. Gaurav Vaz is the producer and Karunya Keshav wrote this episode. This episode was recorded at Multibox Studios Bangalore by Bijo Joseph and Anushka Mukherjee. The podcast title track was composed by Madhav Ayachit. The sound design and music score for this podcast was created by Nikhil Rao. Ajit Ramamurthy conceptualized this podcast and put everything together. Ajit is the man behind all the amazing content that RCB produces. A big thank you to Virat Kohli, who is as open and gracious as ever. Watch the full video of our conversation on the RCB YouTube channel. And finally, thank you to the Royal Challengers Bangalore and all of you, the fans, for your unwavering support and encouragement. We play bold because you believe. If you've got this far, you are absolutely the best. Thanks again for listening. I'm Danish Seth. See you on the next episode of The Game Changers.